Thank you, Donna. Worship band. That song brings back memories to me because I was in a pastor's family, and anytime we ever went somewhere, they always wanted us to do some special music or something. We always sang as a family, so we always sang parts, and so we always had that song ready. Heaven Came Down, and we all sang different parts on it. So I can remember that since I was a kid. But it talks about the joy of coming into God's presence and how that can really change us and fulfills us when we find that presence in our life. It should be like heaven on earth. Talking today about breaking addictions, we're back to our series on addressing the mess. Originally, this was going to be the last in that series on addressing the mess I was going to do with addressing addictions. But as I was studying for that sermon and a lot of the different material that I have or came across, I decided I wanted to do more than 1 week on it because I think a lot of people have addictions. And some of you might be saying, well, I don't have addictions. I think everybody almost is addicted to something, whether it's food, whether it's TV, chocolate, you know, money, buying online, gambling, pornography, sex, drugs, alcohol. There's so much that get people. Maybe it's Facebook 8 hours a day. You know, maybe it's working. Things that you want to stop doing, but you do it anyway, and you can't seem to overcome those New Year's resolutions you never seem to get past. So how do we deal with those, and how do we find help for those addictions? So I wanted to do it in a three-part series. So today we're talking about learning to receive love, because a lot of our addictions are tied into the fact we can't receive love properly in our life. We're not receiving the glory of God and the grace that He wants to give us to overcome. Next week we're going to talk about how do you place your affection in the right direction? Because the Bible talks about we get so in love with the things of the world, we love them more than we do God. And so that's really our desire, and our heart goes in those directions. How can we refocus that? And then on the third week, I wanted to bring in somebody that deals with addiction. So we were looking, you know, who's a specialist that could come in. And Teen Challenge Ministry had been asking us about setting up a time. They had that date open. They have like an 86% success rate with alcohol and drug addictions. And I've heard them before. Their testimonies are powerful. And so I wanted to bring in somebody that could testify that God could help them and can help us, you know, in those areas of dealing with addictions. So it's going to be a good 3 weeks, and I hope that you will enjoy that. I wanted to start by focusing on some scripture that kind of talks about addictions, I would think, where Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 7, verses 21 to 25, kind of indicates the human nature of having problems of doing things you don't want to do and not being able to do what you want to do. It's up here on the screen. You can follow it along with me as I read in Romans chapter 7, verse 21. I have discovered this principle of life, that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. You ever been there? I love God's law with all my heart, but there's another power within me that is at war with my mind. This power makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me. Oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? But here's the answer. He says, thank God, the answer is in Jesus Christ our Lord. So you see how it is. In my mind, I really want to obey God's law, but because of my sinful nature, I am a slave to sin. It kind of sounds like addiction, doesn't it? I want to do different, but I can't seem to overcome it, and why? And I think a lot of people, they leave the faith and leave church because of that. You know, they come in and they pray and they ask God to deliver them. Maybe they're free from this thing that they wanted to quit or overcome for a couple weeks or a month, but then they fall back and they think, well, I guess God's power is not for me. I guess it's not there. I don't believe. And then they turn away and they walk away. When I believe that God wants to give us victory, but sometimes we have to go deeper than that and we have to find the root cause. And my prayer and my our vision, I guess, even of our church is that we would become a church that specializes in helping people with addictions. We don't see a lot of people in town doing it. We don't see churches doing it. There's not a lot in the area. If we can be a church that loves people who are struggling, if we can be someone who can provide resources for people and network them to help them find success, you know, we can reach a lot of people that need help, that need Christ in their life. And so we just pray that through this time, even that God would work in our hearts and help us to see what He wants to do in the lives of people. Many times, getting to the root of the addiction is the key to obtaining lasting, genuine freedom. What's really causing it? What's keeping you bound? So I want to address some of those common issues today that often affect us. And the most common root I put on your outline for you of addiction is lack of love being received by that person. I want to read for you John 14, and I put up here on the screen as well what Jesus said these words. In verses 23 and 24, he said, "All who love me will do what I say. My Father will love them, and we will come and make our home with each of them. Anyone who doesn't love me will not obey me. If you love me, you obey me." You see, there's a tie between love and obedience and doing what's right. And if you're just trying to conquer these things, you're trying to overcome these things because of the law and that you have to do it, you're probably not going to succeed. Somehow, you've got to tie into love. Somehow, you've got to love God more than you love these things. Somehow, God's got to fill you with his love, because Galatians says, when you walk in the Spirit, you won't walk by the flesh. Well, that means when you have his peace, when you have his joy, when you have his love, when you have his fullness, when those needs inside of you are met, then you're going to have power to overcome. But if you don't have that, you won't. So I put on your outline for you, we are all created with a basic need to be loved. Now think about that, and it makes sense, because God is love. That's the basis of his characteristic. If you want to know what God is, he's pure love. And we're created in his image. So God created us to both give and receive love. But through damaged emotions, our capacity to receive love can be drastically or dramatically hindered. Many of us have been damaged emotionally by rejection or abandonment or abuse, and thereby our capacity to receive love has been reduced. Only an emotionally healthy person is capable of both giving and receiving love as God intended. And here's another key. An addiction, I highlighted that for you, is formed when we try to use something other than God to meet our need to be loved. We develop a love relationship with the thing that we have come to depend on to ease our pain or frustration in life. So when our ability to receive God's love into our hearts is hindered, we will feel like something's missing, and we will seek to fill that void with something else. When that thing, whatever it might be, fills that void, we grow to love it because it's meeting a need. And over time, we establish a relationship with that thing. And when it comes time to depart, it's like breaking up a relationship. That's why addictions are so addicting. We've relied on that thing to meet a need, and we've established a relationship with it. Now when it's time to break up that love, it isn't easy to say goodbye. We were talking in Sunday school class today about getting out of the boat and by faith and getting past that. You become so dependent on those different things that you're doing as kind of some sort of fulfillment of some ecstasy, something that gets you out of yourself, that it's hard to get away from it and say, okay, I'm going to trust God to fill this void. I'm going to trust God to do it instead of this thing. You become dependent on it. And another common problem is that when we try to deal with addictions is we give up one addiction successfully to find ourselves in another addiction. We might quit drinking only to start overeating. Or we might think that we're finding victory in one area, but we just switch addictions to another one because there's that need, there's that void within us for God's love and that fulfillment that we're not addressing. And so we need to first go to that base and be able to fulfill that need. So what are some things that keep us from receiving love? A is self-worth issues can hinder love. You know, self-worth issues are rooted in believing that we are not worthy or deserving to be loved. Now, when we believe that, we're unlovable because somebody told us that or they treated us that way. We will unconsciously reject any love that comes our way. We won't believe the love because we believe in our hearts that we are not worthy. Do you know anybody like that? Doesn't matter what you tell them, how much you love them, that they're lovable, they're not going to believe it because they have such a low self-esteem because of what people told them or how they treated them that they can't receive it, and so they never feel loved. And even when it comes to feeling God's love and his grace in their life, they don't feel it. And so they're void because they can't seem to accept love. They believe what other people tell them instead of what God told them. I want you to think about how special you are this morning. I know some of our people are at the Special Olympics, and I know people who have special needs. People kind of treat them bad and tell them they're not worthy. But what I would like to say to you is that God created all of us as special, unique individuals. That's you. The Bible says he created us in our mother's womb before we ever were born. You know, we're not like anybody else, but God didn't want us like anybody else. If you look at nature, do you see anything that's the same? You see a cat looks like a dog, a tree looks like a plant, and then flowers. Everything's different, and God's created us unique, and everything is special, and everything's a part of his kingdom. And we in our society seem to elevate this idol of this is what's perfect, or this is what's good, or this is what you should be like, or this is the intelligence level you should have, or this is the sports person you should be, or this is the kind of money that you should make. And we start buying into a system that's fake. And it's not true, because God says everybody and everything is ultimately valuable to him. Think about if you went into an art studio, and I'm not too much into art. Anybody into art? Maybe you are, but you go into art, and you see this picture. That's the ugliest picture I've ever seen in my life. I wonder who made that. And the artist is standing right there, you know, be kind of embarrassed. Do you think, how would that make that artist feel? First of all, I probably say they're stupid. They don't even know what they're looking at. I mean, you probably think that, but you might be offended. What do you think God feels when you put yourself down and say, I'm ugly, I'm no good, I can't think, my brain's bad, I can't accomplish anything for God, I'm unlovable, nobody likes me? What do you think that makes him feel like? Because he created you special, and he made you unique, and he loves you just as much as anybody else. As a matter of fact, he even said the people that are less in the spotlight and less observed might have a special place of honor to him. I think sometimes when we get to heaven, we're going to find out people that we didn't think were that special or we wanted to pay attention to are going to have a higher place of honor than us, because they weren't in for self-glory, but they were in for God's glory. So self-worth issues, you need to be able to say, and you've got to come to the point of saying, I'm lovable, and I'm not going to listen to those voices anymore, so that you can receive love and it can change your life to help break you free. But self-worth issues have to be dealt with. B, self-unforgiveness issues can hinder love. Many times we have self-unforgiveness issues because we blame ourselves for something, or we've done something we deeply regret or we're ashamed of, and we can't let it go. Do you have something like that in your life? I've known people who had abortions and they couldn't let go of it. I've known people who, because of a divorce, couldn't let go of it. I know people that had abused their child, they couldn't let go of it because they were involved in illicit sex or they weren't faithful to their partner and they couldn't let go of it. And even though God had forgiven them and God's grace was in it, they couldn't let go of it. And so that unforgiveness of that spirit and unable to forgive myself, they beat themselves up. Or they think they deserve pain. They may mutilate themselves. You know, cutting is such a big thing now, either because they're trying to cover up the pain or they're trying to punish themselves for something. People will take a job, they'll move, they'll do other things to punish themselves because they think they're guilty even though somebody else did something to them. So self-unforgiveness, self-hate has been known to be the root behind diseases like lupus and Crohn's disease or autoimmune diseases. And we need to stop holding ourselves accountable for that which God and Jesus has set us free. You know, some people think God can't forgive me of this. And I ask them, you know, Jesus died for all people, for all time, all nations, everywhere, and it's finished on the cross, right? It covered every sin. What sin have you committed that's worse than every sin that everybody else in all time have committed? Nothing. Now, Jesus covers your sin, and when you ask him to forgive you and cleanse you, you've got to be able to believe that and let it go so that you can be freed. If you can't accept God's love and his grace in your life, you're not going to find freedom to walk away from those things that will keep you bound. The third thing, C, is not forgiving others. A lot of people, their addictions are because they won't forgive somebody else. My dad abused me, or someone else abused me in my life. They hurt me. I can't let it go. I'm not going to let it go. I'm going to keep them on the chain. And Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 to 35, about, you know, the man who had this great debt, like $1 million, and the king forgave it because he asked him to, and then he had somebody that owed him like $100, and he wouldn't forgive him and threw him in jail. And that made God mad, and he said, that guy's going to be in jail, and he's going to pay because I've forgiven him so much, and they won't forgive somebody else. We as Christians can forgive other people when nobody else can, because we know we've been forgiven. We've been forgiven by God's grace. We didn't deserve it. Over and over, we don't deserve it, and God forgives us freely. And he says, now, you got to forgive other people. That doesn't mean justifying it. It doesn't mean saying it was all right. It means letting it go. It means I'm going to take that person, because I trust God to be the righteous judge. I'm taking that person, I'm giving him to God's courtroom, not mine anymore. I'm not going to judge it. I'm not going to hold it on. It's not going to destroy my life anymore. I'm giving him to God. I'm trusting God to judge that person. I'm going to let it go. And it frees you. But you have to deal with those forgiving other people to let it go if you're going to find freedom in your life, because you need God's love and grace flowing into you. That's going to inspire you and give you joy and peace so you don't have to tie into those other addictions to find that in your life. So not forgiving others can hinder that love. Indeed, just spiritual ignorance can hinder love. We don't understand God. How many of us think God's just the judge? We think that he's there to punish us. We think he's there to overshadow us. He's going to put us in the grave because we failed one more time. and we don't understand God's faith, we don't understand God's grace, and we don't really believe that God has taken care of our sin on the cross. So sometimes just not understanding who we are in Christ, not understanding the change in our righteous standing before Him can keep us from finding victory in our life. So seeing, you need to learn to see yourself as God sees you. When you've come and you've asked Christ to forgive you, forgive yourself because you want to please God and forgive the other people is some of the biggest steps in your life to finding that freedom that you need. So second point here, I wanted to give you some questions that you can help identify the root of your addictions. I want you to ask these questions of yourself, and maybe that could be some keys that are holding you down or keeping you back. A, is there a self-worth issue that makes me feel unworthy to be loved? Something that keeps up and say, I'm not worthy to be loved. Or somebody that told you that. Or you're not good enough, or you're never going to make it, or you're blamed for this. And that it keeps replaying in your head all the time, and somewhere you don't feel like you're worthy to be loved. B, have I done something that I deeply regret that I can't forgive myself for? Is there something in my life that's I can't forgive myself for? C, has someone hurt me so badly in the past that I no longer open my heart to love? You see, a lot of people, especially when they're abused as a child, they'll build a wall because I can't take that pain. I can't take one more pain. I can't survive anymore, and I'm going to build a wall. And that's just the place that addictions come to fill that void because I'm not letting anybody in. I won't let anybody love me. I won't let God love me. And so I fill it with other things because I'm trying to escape. I feel empty all the time, and I need to have some excitement. I need something that's going to go somewhere. And so you've got to be able to deal with that if that hurt to find ultimate solution for those addictions. And D, am I blaming God for anything bad that happened to me? You see, many times, and I've known a lot of people like that, we blame God for our problems, don't we? He was in control. He allowed it to happen to me. He could have stopped it, but He didn't. He allowed that sickness. He's probably trying to teach me something. He's probably just trying to get me back in the right place. And we think of God as this, we know that He's loving, but He really isn't to us because He doesn't like us and He's against us. And we have that wrong concept of God. You know what Jesus said in John 10:10? He said, the thief comes to steal, to kill and destroy, but that's not what I came for. And that's not what God is like. He said, I've come you might have life and you have it more abundantly. You've got to get your thinking straightened out. You've got to stop blaming God for the situation you're in if you want to find freedom in your life. So settling the fact that God loves you, and I hope we can do that this morning, settling the fact that God loves you and is good towards you is crucial to restoring your God-given capacity to receive His love. And E, do I have a solid biblical understanding of who I am in Christ? I think so often we believe what the world tells us who we are instead of what God tells us we are and who we are in His standing. So we need to deal with that. And you might ask yourself the question, well, am I lack of receiving love? Let me tell you how you can tell. How do you know if you are receiving God's love or it's hindered in your life? If you are not passionate about Jesus, if you are not excited about Him, if you're not thrilled with Him, then you're blocked somewhere. There's something in your life you need to deal with. If it's just ho-hum, I really don't care. I can't really worship God even when I come to church. I really don't feel close to Him. Then probably some of these issues in your life are blocking you receiving His love. But if you can get past that, and if you can understand how much He loves you and you can open yourself to receiving His love, be willing to do that and deal with some of those issues, it can change your life. Because when you begin to walk in His Spirit and He fills you with His love, which He's probably trying to do, you're just not letting Him in, it'll change your life. And you won't have to go other places to find that fulfillment that you desperately need on the inside. In Philippians 4:7, it says that God's love surpasses all knowledge. It dispels all fear. It gives us a sense of peace and joy that we can never find anywhere else. When you find that and you're walking in that, those other things will diminish and they'll lose their power and hold over you. So let's go to the application on steps toward inner healing. First steps, A, see yourself as lovable. You've got to see yourself as lovable. The key to uprooting these addictions is to receive love. Understand your true identity in Christ and come to that place where you believe that you're lovable is going to be a key. B, discover the root of your addiction. And to discover that root, you're going to have to be real honest with yourself. We avoid those areas we don't want to deal with. You've got to deal with that pain, you need to ask yourself those questions if you want to get past those bondage in your life. C, as you uncover emotional wounds, you need to forgive others, yourself, and God. And I say God because he doesn't really need forgiving, but you need to let him go if you understand the truth that he's not the fault for your problems. And D, you need to spend time learning about how much God loves you and who you are in Christ. Dealing with those issues underlying an addiction is the key to uprooting it permanently. If you want lasting freedom and wholeness in this area of your life, you have to deal with the issues that have limited your capacity to receive love, especially the love that God has for you. There's three things I want you to say with me before we go into communion this morning. The first thing that I want you to say with me is, I am lovable. Can you say that? I am lovable. Say it again. I am lovable. Do you believe it? Or are you just saying it? Do you believe you're lovable? Do you believe you're worthwhile? It's something you need to deal with. Second thing I want you to say is, God loves me. Can you say that? God loves me. Say it again. God loves me. Do you believe that? He really loves you? That he's on your side? He's not against you? And the third thing I want you to say is, I love God. I love God. Say it again. I love God. Do you really? Or you love other things more than him? If you do and you're receiving his love, then probably you're filled with his joy and your peace. But if just saying those things this morning kind of bugged you and it kind of irritated your spirit, then probably you got some work you need to do. Maybe all of us have some work we need to do in those areas this morning. Let's just pray and ask God to teach us about opening up to his love. God, I have a tendency in my life to be very critical, not of other people, but of myself. So a lot of times I don't feel that lovable because I didn't meet the standard I had for myself. Now, I don't know if someone else put that on me or I just took it upon myself, but I need to realize that you love me even when I mess up, that you love me even if I sin, that if I ask forgiveness, that you forgive me, that it's not about all duty, it's about a relationship with you. And so, Lord, I know sometimes I don't love you as much as I should. I say I do, but I'm not excited about you or passionate about you or in my relationship, and so other things become more attractive around me. So, Lord, I pray that you would help me to grow in these areas and to view myself as you view me, not maybe a negative view that I have on myself. And Lord, I help all of us to deal with the issues we need to deal with so we can find lasting freedom and joy in a life that you have for us. In Jesus' name.